Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I've chosen to take a couple messages here in the month of December to just look at the Christmas story in a couple of unique perspectives. And Luke chapter 2 includes an account of two very unique individuals. We're going to be focusing our attention on Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through verse 38. And as we go down through here, I will make observation and explain certain things. But I believe the Lord wants us to take specific note to a man by the name of Simeon. A man by the name of Simeon and a lady by the name of Anna. Simeon and Anna. They are indeed a part of the Christmas story, a very significant role that they play according to the account of Luke, as Luke seeks to share the message of Jesus Christ to the world. He includes this account to declare again who Jesus is. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, just a timeline here. In verse 21, Jesus is 8 days old. He is 8 days old here. So verse 21, and when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now verse 22, Jesus is 40 to 41 days old. So there is a time gap here between verse 21 and 22. And I'll explain that. But just for your help as we read, Jesus is now 40 to 41 days old. Verse 22, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written, in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. All right, so I just want to stop here and talk about the presentation of the Lord at the temple, of the Lord Jesus at the temple. We're seeing here Joseph and Mary as devoted people to the Lord and to His law. They are good Jews. They are taking their firstborn son. They are having him circumcised on the 8th day according to the law of Moses, and then waiting for Mary's purification. Well, this is part of the Jewish law in that Mary needed to wait 40 to 41 days in order to be pure before she could worship again with others in the temple. And so that's what takes place there between verses 21 and 22. She waits that amount of days according to the law of Moses, and then they go to Jerusalem. Now, I believe that during this time, they are still in Bethlehem. They are living there in Bethlehem for this month or month and a half. So it's not that far of a distance to go to Jerusalem and to do things according to the law. Now, the law also declared that every firstborn child was to be the Lord's, was to be given to the Lord as devoted, set apart for the Lord's service. Do you remember Samuel? And remember, what's interesting too is Hannah. Hannah is the same name as Anna, and so you'll see some similarities here. But you see, Hannah took Samuel, her firstborn son, to the temple, and he was devoted to the Lord's service. Now, in this context, we have Jesus going to the temple, and he's devoted to the Lord. But since he was of the tribe of Judah, he would not stay there and work, but he would be redeemed. So in other words, if he was not a Levite, all firstborn males who were devoted to the Lord would then be redeemed by their parents. What does that mean? That means that they would be devoted to the Lord, and then they would have to give the 5 shekels to the temple, and then they would have their son back, and the temple would have the 5 shekels for the service of the Lord. And this was just a part of the law and the way that God had set things up. Because God wanted the people of Israel to remember what happened that night of the Passover. Remember, in Egypt, that night, all of the firstborn were killed. Except for those of the Israelites who had the blood on the doorposts and on the lintels. And so God, throughout the Old Testament, in the law especially, you'll see him making note, I want you to remember the Passover. And because of that, I want you to dedicate your firstborn to me. Just one example of that, in Numbers chapter 8, verse 17, it says, "For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine," this is the Lord speaking, "both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself." And so this serves as a symbol and as a reminder that every time the Jews would have their firstborn child, they would be taken to the temple and they would be offered to the Lord, dedicated as holy to the Lord, and then they would be redeemed for the 5 shekels. And so that's what's taking place here. And so this is Joseph and Mary. This is after the shepherds have come, and the shepherds have done their announcing throughout the area of what they have seen and what the angels have told them. And Joseph and Mary now are in Jerusalem. They are at the temple, and they are doing what God has told them to do according to the law. Now they are also, as a part of Mary's purification, to offer sacrifices. Now the requirement of the law was a lamb and a turtle dove or a pigeon. She was to do 2 sacrifices for her purification. She was to do a burnt offering and a sin offering. Well, the law also allows, if you can't afford a lamb, you could bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. And it is commonly thought that Joseph and Mary were not that well off, so they brought 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves to the temple for the sacrifice to fulfill everything according to the law. Here's a point. As Jesus is presented at the temple to the Lord, you make note that he is being brought up under the law. He is being brought up according to the law that he himself, being God, had placed upon these Jewish people. So that important note there is that Jesus came on this earth to show us God, to show us that God's standard was perfection. And so Jesus, he lived under the law, and his parents devoted him just according as the law specified. But you know that Jesus, as he went on through his life fulfilled the law, and he kept it perfectly, according as God interprets it, as God specified it, thus showing to all mankind God's standard, and thus setting Jesus up as the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. Perfect, no blemish. He kept the law. And when he was even born, 8 days he was circumcised, and then 41 days they brought to the temple, and Mary and her purification, appropriate sacrifices were given. And so all of these things, God in human flesh, presented at the temple to the Lord, it was all done according to the law. Now, let's read on, and we begin in verse 25. We meet this man, Simeon. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, awaiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now, I want to stop here and make a few notes and observations about this man, Simeon. For some reason, in some people's minds, it's thought that Simeon was a priest. I don't see that in the scriptures. I don't see that specified. What I see is this. He's a man in Jerusalem. He's just a man just like you, like me. A layman. Nobody special. There's no high position. He was a man in Jerusalem. Okay, so let's just get that in our minds as we picture this man. We're kind of building a picture here of this man, Simeon. He's just another man in Jerusalem. But there's some significant things made or observations we can make about this man. That same man was just. All right, well, when the scriptures call a man just, that means that he is righteous. That means he observes divine law. That means he obeyed the Lord. Now, this is significant because during this time, there wasn't a lot of people that obeyed God's law. Even Jews. I mean, this was a very difficult time in the history of Israel. They're under the dominion of Herod and of the Roman hand. And so, and many of the Jews are not worshiping God and abiding by His law. And so here we have a man who is described as just. He's observing divine law, and he's devout. He's devout. He's dedicated to the things of God. He takes a hold of them carefully and with reverence. He respects God's law. So he's a man of Jerusalem. He's just, he's devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, verse 25, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. You know, there are many things about the Christmas story that are miraculous. There are many things that happen. You can think through the Christmas story as you know it, and you're reminded of the angels, right? Miraculous. Something that's just not a normal human thing to happen on this earth. An angel and a whole host of angels appearing in the sky, the shepherds. Just miraculous. What about the birth of John the Baptist to a barren woman? Miraculous. What about the conception of the Lord Jesus in Mary, a virgin? Miraculous. What about Jesus' birth in and of itself? God in human flesh. Miraculous. You see the hand of God throughout this entire story, entire event of history. And it doesn't stop with the shepherds, but it continues on. You see this note here that Luke makes? The Holy Spirit was upon him. Let's think about this. Who else was the Holy Spirit upon during these days? I don't know if he was upon anybody except for this man Simeon. Because remember, at this point in history, before the creation of the church, the Holy Spirit did not permanently dwell on believers. He came upon certain people at specific times for specific purposes. That was it. With that in mind, what's that tell you about Simeon? He's a specific person at a specific time to accomplish something specifically for God's glory. He's a marked man. He's marked by the Lord, by God, for this specific event. That is the hand of God. Now, he is waiting for the consolation of Israel. Another way you could say that is he's looking for. He's looking for, with anticipation, the consolation. Another word for that would be comfort of Israel. Well, Israel needed some comfort in these days. I mean, it was Herod the Great was not your gentle, meek kind of man. He was a very ruthless man, a murderer. And the people of Israel, under great tribulation and torment, under Roman rule, the glory days of David, long gone. And so here he is. He's waiting for the comfort of Israel. The Holy Spirit's upon him. And let's take note. what was revealed unto him. Verse 26, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There's a lot in that verse. I want you to make a note, and this is something that's interesting, an interesting observation here, is that just in this one verse alone, you see all three persons of the Godhead. You see this? Look at that. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There's a lot of meaning in those two names, Lord's Christ. Let's take Christ. Christ, Christos, means anointed, anointed one, which is the Greek way of saying Messiah. The promised one, the one to come and deliver Israel. And remember, he was waiting for the comfort of Israel. And they believed that would come in the Messiah. And so we have the Messiah spoken of here, Christ. Well, who is he? He's the anointed one of whom? The Lord God. And so as we believe that their scriptures teach there is just one God. I mean, God himself in the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt worship, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. He's a jealous God, one God. But here we see the incredible events, all three persons of the Godhead, all three manifestations of God, if you will, taking part in this incredible work. And Simeon is right in the middle of it all. He is being used by God. So the Holy Spirit reveals to him that he will not die. He won't die until he has seen the Messiah, the anointed one sent from God. What a promise. I mean, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how the Spirit revealed this to him, but he must have known it was a message from God. And so here's this man. What would you do spending your days if you had that promise on your head? You'd spend your days looking too, wouldn't you? We don't know his age. We assume that he was old, but doesn't necessarily make it so. But he would have spent his days looking. Is that the one? Is that the Messiah? Why would he be looking? Because the Spirit of God was upon him. The promise was, you're not going to die, Simeon, until you've seen him. And so walking throughout his days, throughout Jerusalem, he's looking. In verse 27, we now see that Simeon, he's a marked man, and now he's a moved man. He is a man that's moved by God to a specific place at a specific time for a specific purpose. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, in the sphere of the Spirit's guidance, another way you could think of that, into the temple. Why is he going into the temple? Though the answer would be because the Spirit of God's leading him into the temple. Why is the Spirit of God leading him into the temple? It's because somebody else is coming in the temple. Well, how in the world would Simeon know that? It's because God's at work here, folks. God's hand is seen here. Because he's bringing two strangers together that they might meet and fulfill God's divine purpose. Simeon is coming into the temple. And at the same time, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary coming into the temple to perform their religious duties according to the law. Well, this is almost setting up a climax of a novel, an incredible story here. Because you're tracking these two events, and pretty soon they're going to collide with incredible glory. So what we have, he came, verse 27, by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Again, Luke mentions they're abiding by the law. And that's their purpose. Their purpose is not to come to meet Simeon. Their purpose is to fulfill the law. So Joseph and Mary are unaware of God having this plan. So they're coming to fulfill the law. Verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, we don't know exactly how Simeon knew Jesus was the Messiah. All we know is he knew it. We don't know if there was a specific mark or something that happened, but we know that when he, Simeon, saw Jesus, Joseph and Mary coming, he immediately went, he met them, and he took the baby in his arms. I'm a father, I have a baby. And it is very, very rare that I would allow a stranger to take a baby out of my arms. My baby. That's what's happening here. Again, we have a man, Simeon, led by God, by the Spirit of God, to the temple at this specific time. And again, we have Jesus led according to the law and its provisions under the authority of his mother and Joseph, coming to the temple to perform the law, the customs of the law, and they meet. And here we see, as these two divinely led events collide, we see God all over this. We see an incredible picture of God being in control, and yet another miraculous thing takes place. For God has led these two together. And this man, Simeon, God's promises are fulfilled. He takes him in his arms and he blesses God. He praises God and this is what he says. Now, I want you to picture this in the temple. The temple was a very grand, large area. Now, this would not have been inside the temple proper. In other words, inside where all the sacrifices and worshiping would have taken place. It would have been outside of one of the outer courtyards. And this probably took place before the sacrifices before Mary would have offered the sacrifices, but we don't know for sure. But let's also remember that they are not in just a private room, but they are in a courtyard with all kinds of people running around, busy animals going in to be sacrificed. This is a busy place. And they meet, and Simeon takes this babe, the Christ, in his arms. Can you imagine the emotion of this man? For he has waited for this day. And he knows this is the deliverer of Israel. I hold in my hands. And so he takes this young man and he raises him up and he blesses and he praises God. Why is he praising God? He's praising God because he has fulfilled his promise, not just to him, but to all of Israel. You have come. You've brought your Messiah. I hold him. And here he is, he's holding God in human flesh, and he is praising God the Father in heaven. And this is what he says. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Now I can die. You have fulfilled your promise. Now let me depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. What's Simeon saying here? Lord, you've kept your promise. There's peace in my heart. You can take me now. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thy salvation, that salvation he's speaking of, that's a person. That's Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. You know, that was something that was declared of him even before he was born. He would be a Savior. And Simeon makes this observation, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, God." Why is it God's? It's God's salvation because he sent his Son to earth to live among men, to live perfectly, and to die on a cross and to be risen again for the salvation of mankind. Which, verse 31, thou hast prepared before the face of all people. All people, Jesus had been brought, was being brought up before people. The prophecies had been declared before all people. And so these times were ready for the coming of the Messiah. He then, Simeon, makes some declarations or some prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus. In fact, he kind of goes back and draws from his Old Testament knowledge about the Messiah. And he makes these comments in his prayer and blessing to the Lord. Verse 32, he says, "A light," speaking of Jesus, the one he holds in his arms, "a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Now what he is saying here, he's speaking of two different groups of people. And boy, am I glad he speaks of two different groups of people. He speaks of a light to lighten the Gentiles, and he speaks of the glory of Israel. In the scriptures, you do have those two entities that comprise all of mankind. You have God's chosen people, Israel, and then everybody else are the Gentiles. And you see that Jesus, the Savior, the salvation, was come to be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. That's another way to translate that phrase, a light to lighten the Gentiles. He was a light to be shown and to reveal God to the Gentile world. This was going to be accomplished as he lived his life, and then his life became a testimony for the apostles to declare all around the known world. And he was the glory of thy people, Israel. You know what? The Jews, they did have a special place. They were God's chosen people. They had received the law, not the Gentiles. It was the Jews that had received God's law. It was the Jews who had God as their ruler. It was the Jews who God brought them to the promised land, and he overcame great armies to give them a land. It was God who did that with the Jewish people. And so God again blesses the Jewish people by giving them the Messiah. You see, the Messiah, the promised, the anointed one, was a Jew, Jesus Christ. He was of the tribe of Judah. He was in the line, the lineage of King David. He was the glory of thy people, Israel. Jesus' coming was the crowning moment that all God-fearing Jews were looking for. Now, verse 33 speaks of Joseph and Mary, their response. Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. Why would they marvel? Is it because that they heard these things and they were like, "Wow, our baby is the Messiah"? No. It's because they marvel because we know who he is. How do you know who he is? You see, it's the divine hand of God again. Because he's just a little baby. He hasn't done anything really except for come and been born. But in reality, God is doing incredible things. That's why this is the beautiful part of the Christmas story. Because we continue to see the hand of God at work. And even in Joseph and Mary, they're marveling. Well, Joseph and Mary, they already knew these things about Jesus. They knew he was going to be named Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. It's Joshua in Greek. They knew he would be great. They knew he would be called the Son of God. They knew he would rule on the throne of David. They knew he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. They knew that angels announced his birth. Did angels announce your birth? Ask your mom, maybe she would believe they did. But no, angels announced his birth to the shepherds. And this most significant thing, he is called a Savior. He will save his people from their sins, it, the angel told Joseph and Mary. So they knew that Jesus was special. They knew he was the promised one. And now they meet somebody else, a total stranger coming, and they meet in the temple, and here they marvel at how God orchestrates these events, and they realize this is way bigger than our little home in Bethlehem. There is so much more that God has in store than just our little family. God's at work all around us. And so they marvel. And Simeon then turns and he blesses them. And he says to Mary, his mother, verse 34. So now Simeon, looking at Mary, he says these words, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now, is that a comforting thing for a mama to hear? I mean, here you are, you're celebrating, it's an exciting day, you're at the temple, but Simeon, he's indwelt by the Spirit of God at this point, and he speaks these words, and he says, "Behold, this child, Mary, is set for the falling and the rising again of many in Israel." In other words, Jesus Christ is referred to as the stumbling stone. And there are people that stumble over him and fall over him because they refuse to believe who he really is. And so they fall. But yet others rise up and will arise with him someday, because they have embraced him for who he is. You see, Jesus is the crucial person of all history. People have to deal with Jesus. That's what he's saying. He is the most important individual to ever walk this earth. And people must reckon with who he is. "And for a sign which shall be spoken against," yes, he indeed was spoken against. And then he speaks of a sword that's going to pierce through Mary, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, speaking of Jesus' death. Remember where Mary was when he died? At the foot of the cross. And remember, as a mother watching her son going through such anguish, her soul is being described here as pierced through with a sword. And this sword is no little sword. In the Greek, this sword is the large, large, long sword that pierces through her soul, describing the incredible passion and anguish which she will feel someday. That's Simeon. And that's how God worked in his life, and how God marked him, and how God moved him. But yet, a third person comes into the scene, and we will close with relating the story of Anna. This dear lady, of great age, the Bible tells us. Some people believe she was 84 years old, others believe that she would have been 104, 105. I believe 104, 105-year-old lady here. And she described verse 36, one Anna, a prophetess. This is an interesting point. I don't have a lot of time to cover, but there had not been any prophets for many hundreds of years. And here we see the mention of a prophetess. All of a sudden, no, it's because Jesus has come and things are going to change. Things are going to happen. She's a daughter of Phanuel. That name, there's no big specific things we can learn about that. She's of the tribe of Asher, a very normal tribe. She's of the northern tribes of Israel. She was of great age. She lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So she was married for 7 years. She was a widow of about 84 years, about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. So she's a widow who had served the Lord with great devotion. And she was in the temple. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And what happens? She came in that instant, the Bible describes it. At that very moment, she sees Joseph and Mary. She sees Simeon holding this little baby up. She hears what Simeon says, and she comes over, and she gives thanks, verse 38, likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. And so again, what we see is Jesus' birth and his abiding by the law is bringing together people who are devoted to God so that they then can take this message and declare it to others all around them. All right, what have we learned? Why do we study something like this? Why does God include this in his word? Well, one of the things, and there's many things we could look at, but one of the things we can be encouraged about is that God has his hand in all things. And God is orchestrating events, and he is at work, and he is moving people to accomplish his purposes. And you see that happening in the life of Simeon. As all of God's divine power, they all converge upon this instance where he moves Simeon and Jesus, and they meet in the temple. And what is accomplished? Jesus is marked out as the Messiah, the promised one. It is declared publicly for the first time in the temple that the Messiah has come. He's here. I hold him in my arms. The Messiah has come. Let's think of this also, dear ones. These are just ordinary people like you and me. They weren't special priests from special training. They were ordinary people that God used. And although God might work a little bit differently in these days, God still uses ordinary people to accomplish his purposes. And what is fascinating is that you and I, that same Holy Spirit, lives and indwells you if you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can discern and understand the moving of the Spirit of God and listen to him as he takes you places and you meet people that are divine appointments of God. That's the moving of God. You know, this must have been incredibly exciting for a man named Simeon. Well, dear ones, things are happening in your day, in your life, that are incredibly exciting because they are the hand of God at work in your life. You're a marked man or woman. God's on your life. The Spirit of God is working in your life. Listen to him and obey his voice. And as he moves you, go willingly. And watch to see what he reveals. And this beautiful truth we learn from a man named Simeon. A man that many times is overlooked. And from a young, she wasn't that young, was she? Anna, 105 years old, 104 years old. But yet God used them. And what's significant here is you see that this lady, Anna, she went out from this place, and what does it say? She spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Not only were the shepherds missionaries, but here you have a 104-year-old lady then going out and making sure people knew he's here. He's here. Lord, I thank you for this study and for these dear people and the events that we can look at and learn from. Lord, you are at work all around us. And Lord, this little highlight of how you worked in Simeon's heart and life reminds us that you again are at work in our lives. And I thank you for dwelling upon us in the person of the Spirit of God, for being our comforter and being our guide. And Lord, I just ask that we would be aware of your moving in our hearts and lives, and that we would be people that are ready to do your bidding. Lord, it's exciting to live in these days and to know that you are in control and you are at work. Oh, Father, Merry Christmas. We praise you for sending us Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.